This morning I've got Robin Grace with me. Good morning, Robin.
Hey, Steve.
You're here to talk to us about National Child Abuse Awareness Month, which is this month.
Correct, the month of April.
You're a bit of an authority on this issue, or I guess well-versed or trained in these issues.
Well, yes. I've been a psychotherapist since 1984. I work here in Haines privately, and I'm the clinical supervisor at Lynn Canal Counseling. Work with a lot of children and parents in the community.
Because this is National Child Abuse Awareness Month, we'd kind of like people to be a little bit more aware of, unfortunately, something that does occur in every community. How does one go about identifying child abuse, either in a child or an adult?
You might consider a child as being physically abused if they have unexplained burns, serious cuts, bites, bruises, broken bones, black and blues, black eyes, fading bruises, or other marks that are noticeable after an absence from school or an absence from the community. The child seems frightened of the parents or other adults, seems to protest or cry when he or she needs to go home from school. Child who is avoidant, who, you know, has an acute response of shrinking away from people when they're approached, especially shrinking away from adults when they're approached, or if injury is reported by a parent or another adult caregiver.
So these are all pretty much obvious. You can just see this happening in somebody. It doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's being abused, but it could be a telltale sign.
Of course, yes. You might consider the possibility of a child being physically abused by a caregiver if the parent or adult caregiver offers conflicting or other non-convincing explanations or defenses regarding the child's injury, if the child is described as evil or really bad in some very negative way, if the parent or the caregiver uses harsh physical discipline with the child or has history of abuse within their own childhood, from their own childhood. Other forms of child abuse that are not apparent, such as physical abuse, can be seen when children are extremely avoidant, show signs of fear around other adults. This doesn't necessarily mean they're being abused, of course, but their fear of relating. I guess what I'm talking about are signs of emotional maltreatment as opposed to physical abuse. That can be a little bit harder to discern, but signs of emotional maltreatment can be seen in when a child is showing extremes in behavior, for example, being overly compliant or demanding behavior, extreme passivity or aggression. If the child is either inappropriately taking the role of an adult, parenting other children, for example, or being extremely infantile, frequent rocking and headbanging. If the child is seriously delayed in physical or emotional development, has attempted suicide, or reports a lack of attachment to the parent, you can consider that there might be a possibility of emotional maltreatment when the parent or other adult caregiver is constantly blaming, belittling, berating the child. If the adult is not concerned about the child and refuses to consider offers of help for the child's school or social problems, or overtly rejects the child.
I see. And I think we want to repeat this several times here this morning, that you're not trying to start a witch hunt here or anything.
No.
This is just Awareness Month, and these are possible signs. These could be signs of any number of other things that are going on as well.
Yes. In fact, a child who moves to a new area, Haines, Alaska, can be very shy and scared and avoidant of contact, but you wouldn't see the constellation of symptoms that I just described. Mm-hmm. Those might be reasons to be concerned.
Right.
You know, this might be a little bit more difficult to hear, but there's also the possibility of sexual abuse that needs to be considered And this might be difficult for people to hear right now, so I just caution you, but if you do see a child who is having difficulty walking or sitting, the child suddenly refuses to change out of clothing during gym or swimming, participate in physical activities, the child demonstrates bizarre, very sophisticated or unusual sexual knowledge or behavior, and other various signs. A child who's running away or reporting sexual abuse by a parent or another adult caregiver.
They might just come out and say it.
Yeah, they might. To their parent or to another adult or to a child.
Right, right.
Children who are neglected can be frequently absent from school. They may be begging or stealing food or money. They may be lacking in necessary medical or dental care. They're constantly dirty. They may have strong body odor, lacking in appropriate clothing for the weather. They may be abusing alcohol and drugs. They may state that there's no one at home taking care of them. You can consider the possibility of neglect when the parent or other adult caregiver appears to be indifferent to the child, seems apathetic, depressed, behaves irrationally or in a bizarre manner, or they themselves are abusing alcohol or drugs. They may suggest to the classroom teacher or to other adults that harsh physical discipline should be used if the child misbehaves. They demand perfection or a level of physical or academic performance that the child cannot achieve. There's something else that I want to say, which is that there is no single factor that we can attribute child abuse to.
There's not a child abuse gene.
Right. It occurs in all segments of society, all different types of families and cultures.
You know, kids can be pretty cruel to each other. Is one kid picking on another kid? Is this a type of child abuse? Can it be?
That's an excellent question, because one of the things that we see is that children who grow up in abusive homes may not define their experience as abuse. If they are receiving severe beatings, long-lasting isolation, they see it as so-called normal discipline. They see it as, quote, normal. End quote. You may see them enacting these behaviors with other children, and to them, it's the way they grew up and were disciplined. So they may not perceive it as unusual.
We're saying is it's possible if one kid is bullying another kid, that this may seem like acceptable behavior to them.
Exactly, because they experience it at home. They've experienced aggressive relating. And that's a way for expression of needs. They may exercise control, whereas other kids may be more cooperative in getting what they need. An abused child may not trust that they'll be listened to, and so they employ aggressive means for securing their needs, because this is what they've learned.
And again, I want to state that these are all just possible telltale signs that something is going on. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are. I mean, you know, I'd say about 80% of the stuff you just talked about was stuff that you could tag to me when I was a child, and I was never abused.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of an awkward kid. And I guess some would say I'm still an awkward adult. Why does child abuse occur? What is there some particular things that cause it to happen?
Another great question. As most listeners will relate to, when we're stressed out, when we're frustrated for all the variety of reasons that we can be, it becomes harder to operate from a patient, loving place. And so in cases of child abuse or abusive relationships, generally there are multiple stressors that have been going on in someone's life or in the family. And so in that situation, children are at risk for child abuse, or there's greater risk for child maltreatment. For example, if there are relational problems between parents, financial problems on top of that, medical problems, problems that have caused people to move into substance abusing, where they're judgment may be off. All of these things can tax us as adults and make us vulnerable. And all of these factors impact parenting skills and your ability to cope with a child who's in a needy state.
Just like dealing with other adults as well, you get frustrated and you might lose your temper with somebody.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing to consider is that child abuse is intergenerational, or can be intergenerational. And as we were talking about in the case of a child bullying another child, if you've learned this at home, you have a history of this going on in several generations, it becomes your culture right, for dealing with stress and need.
And you learn everything from your parents, pretty much.
Well, your early childhood environment is something that you soak up, and the relational styles, the way people treat one another and treat you, become a means for making attachments.
In other words, the apples do not fall too far from the tree.
Sometimes they don't.
Okay. So let's say that you're recognizing some of these signs or possible signs in your community or in your family. What do you do next? You know, I've recognized that I think I hurt my child. What's my next step? Or, you know, maybe my significant other has done this, or, you know, it's a real touchy subject, obviously.
Yeah.
But how do you move forward if you suspect that some of this may be happening?
Help is available. And so even if it feels uncomfortable, even if one might feel embarrassed, ashamed, frightened that they will be identified as an abuser, through the process of counseling, family therapy, couples therapy, child therapy, people can heal. They can become aware of their process and consider options for healthier ways to relate. So in the process of healing, we encourage people to develop awareness of what inspires their frustration and aggression, or their avoidance of dealing directly with their emotions, which can build up and then pop in uncontrolled ways.
Am I to understand that child abuse, much like, say, alcoholism or malaria, can be considered an affliction or a disease that has a cure, such as modified behavior?
In many cases, that's true. If someone is willing to go through the process of exposing their strong emotions that lead to certain decisions that are hurtful to others, they can then be free to develop new ways of coping that are productive, that inspire cooperation, loving, open dialoguing, and lead to better relationships, healthier relationships.
Where would one go for help?
Certainly, you can call Lynn Canal Counseling and search mental health services, as well as some private therapists that are listed in the newspaper.
In the phone book as well.
In the phone book. I think that what I'd like people to walk away from in hearing our conversation today, Steve, is that engaging in a process of help offers you support and education, and it becomes easier when you have someone to talk with who can understand you in a non-judgmental way, who can help you become more aware of what inspires your choices for behaving. I would like for people to know that it would be understandable that they might feel highly embarrassed, that they might be beating up on their own selves, but that the goal here is to engage people so that we can help them and we can help repair broken up families and hurt children.
What we're talking about today is not, you know, turning neighbor against neighbor or person against person and creating some sort of hysteria here. It is National Child Abuse Awareness Month, and this is the time to take that time and be aware that it's something that happens, and maybe be a little aware if you might be ignoring some of the signs that could be happening around you.
Absolutely, Steve, and that to know that help is available.
I've had Robin Grace with me this morning, and Robin, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Steve. Have a nice day.